let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Mary Jane's Community by Clyde Inman Fisher is an historical novel based on a true story. There are no erotic scenes or profanity, just a lovely story that's appropriate for all ages. Mary J. is a hard-working woman with one goal in life, that's to open a store in her hometown. She's a strong and determined woman who faces many obstacles along the way. Although Mary J. has a charitable heart, she loves to fuss when things don't go her way. Clyde Inman Fisher, the author, is an author, public speaker, evangelist. Growing up, he learned at an early age to play a role in his community. He attended college, received a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, worked with several major corporations in key executive positions. Clyde also received a BA degree and a master's degree. He works with groups of multicultural communities, and Clyde Inman Fisher, author of Mary J.'s Community, is our guest on This Week in America. Clyde, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Well, Rick, thank you very much. I've been so excited to be on your show. I heard so much about it throughout the Midwest. So I told everybody, so everybody knows about you now.
Well, hopefully they're listening and good things, and I appreciate that. And I've been looking forward to talking about this because this book is just receiving excellent reviews based, as I said, on a true story. Give us just a little bit of the storyline. I didn't want to give away too much because you wrote a book for people to buy the book and enjoy the story themselves, and they could enjoy it better reading your words than having me talk about it. A little bit of background on the storyline.
Well, you know, Mary J. is a individual that grew up during the Great Depression era, and at 11 years old, she had this unique passionate desire to be a store owner because her sister had owned the store and her mother used to take her there. And that became her dream. She became consumed with it, and she had this independent kind of nature about herself, and she wanted to be independent in what she was doing. And she had two choices. She said, I can go to work in the store, or I can help end up in the field somewhere. So she chose the store, and everything about her life was centered around that. And even though she went through many tragedies, she held on to her dream. And I think that's what's important in the story. She had a dream, and she didn't let anyone deter her from reaching it. And she was consumed with it by the time she was 11, and she stuck with it throughout her childhood and teenage years.
It's amazing at such an early age where she sort of had her mission in life and detours along the way, but she made it back to the main highway and was very successful at that. The book is Mary Jane's Community, Clyde Inman Fisher, our guest on the program. Book at Amazon. You go to our website, get all the information there as well. Talk about the historical setting for your book, and then we'll talk about the challenges of going back and writing the book based on that period. You've done a remarkable research in putting this together. What's the historical setting for Mary Jane's Community?
Well, the book was took place during the Great Depression years and during the 1930s, and it also goes into World War II. And during that particular time, of course, it's so much, people look at that book and they say it's so much parallel to what we're going on today, because Mary J. was born in 1919, and we had the pandemic of that era in 1918, and then we had the Great Depression, and then we had World War II. So she was going through some of the similar things that we were going through, but the idea was that she held on to her dreams and what she was doing during that era that was tremendously tough, 25% of the problem. All the things that we hear today, you can hear about the Great Depression and even worse. So it was tough times. And many times people need to have dreams and things to hold on to get through times like that. So the setting here was, of course, during the Great Depression era. And she kind of lived out her dream during World War II, which is the next decade when she became an adult.
No, it's interesting, as you mentioned, that different circumstances, of course, now, but as a historical novel, compare the cultural context, the changes that we've gone through between then and now.
Well, of course, there's been a cultural context change, and it's been all in the area of the cultural area of where we live in today versus then.
Yes,
I often tell people as I travel throughout the state, sometimes various places, especially among the college campus, they always ask me, say, what was it like living during that day and during the Great Depression? Was any religion involved? And I often would tell them that during that particular period of time, if a farmer needed rain, he would pray for it, because most of the children at that time was raised in some type of religious culture. Today, most of the children today are raised in some kind of technological culture. You know, they have their cell phones and they have the computers and they have their Facebook and all these different kind of things they're dealing with today. And if the same farmer needed rain today, he most likely would Google for it. So we see the transition between moving from a religious culture to a technological culture. And it seemed like one thing just kind of replaces the other. And, of course, in the old culture, they had more contact with their community. There was more involvement with each other in their community. And in a technological culture, we have this kind of outpost where we kind of just get involved through the various electronic equipment that we have today. So we see these changes. And I tell the old people, I say, look, you shouldn't be afraid of technology. And I try to tell the young people, you shouldn't be afraid of religion. They both face unique goals in our culture.
Just, again, one of the themes that Clyde talks about in his book, Mary Jane's Community, the book's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Just an excellent job in writing the book, telling the story, outstanding character development. Clyde's writing style is engaging. It's a very easy read. And we'll bring up, besides following the story, you can make some comparison to what's happening in society today. I mentioned this was based on a true story, and for some reason this inspired you to write the book. The story resonated with you. What was the inspiration to write the book, Mary J's Community?
You know, I love that question. I love when people ask me that question. I was fortunate that my parents were entrepreneurial, and we grew up into a town where in the business community flourished. I mean, beaches, we had cafes, we had nightclubs, and we had the grocery stores, and then we had religious centers, and all these things kind of connected, and it kept the people in the town connected. And then after many years after I went away and I came back to the same town, it was all gone. I mean, the stores was gone, the nightclubs were gone, the beach owners are gone, and these were people that we met all the time. I mean, I knew they came in and out of my family house. You know the people that own the beach. You know the people that own the store. And that was very personal to me because it was such a socializable community where we came together and did things. And to see it all drift away. And I often say that sometimes some of the major retailers may come in because there was gaps that was left there. And there was holes that left there that needed to be filled. And so I was inspired because I felt like these people needed to be heard. They had done significant things. They had put together a wonderful community. They took care of each other during the Great Depression and World War II era. And they built marvelous businesses, even though many of their children did not want to continue those businesses. So they was left and made them run down. But they made a tremendous living off the business, and they really inspired. And I think there was a generation that drifted away. And then by the time it got to the next generation, their children, they didn't know anything about it at all. They didn't even know businesses exist there. So recapturing this story enlightened a lot of people about their foreparents and what had happened in some of these smaller communities.
No, and as you read that, those of us in my age bracket suddenly think back to our days growing up, going down Main Street and having all of these stores with maybe parents of kids you ran around with that owned those stores, or maybe you had friends, relatives that ran the stores. And really, the only chain store I can remember is the local hardware store that sold chains. I mean, you didn't have that then. It was all local people that owned it. It's a time with great memories that you bring to life in the book, Mary J's Community. Let's talk about Mary J, because the readers really love her personality. She's very relatable. Talk about her personality and why she was so passionate, despite all of these obstacles, to become a store owner.
Well, Mary J was a kind of really a neat person, because even when she was little, she had this little thing. She always wanted to control things. She always wanted to be out front leading things and doing things. And regardless of what she was doing, she always had her attitude. She had this big attitude about the way she liked to do things, but she always had a big heart. And she wanted to be independent. She wanted to do something on her own. She wanted to be in control of more control of her life. And she, when she found out about, when she discovered the opportunity of having a store, she made her father, she made her mother, she made everybody around her, you know, commit to her that she wanted to have a store. And they said, and the father said, laughing, okay, when I get big, he was a carpenter, I'm going to build you a store. And the mother said, I'm going to work in it. And, you know, some things happened to them, by the way. But she held on to those dreams. And when she went on to even meet her husband, when she got married, the first thing she told him, guess what? I want a store, and this is my passionate life, and that's where I'm at. And, you know, it's funny because even though she didn't have the resources necessary, she didn't necessarily have the money, but she kept that dream in a format. And you know, and it helps me so much in my life. I think that the dream guided her, and people knew what she wanted to do. Now, you know, I often tell young people, I say, you can get help and you can get support with various people, but if nobody knows what you want to do, how are they going to help you? And so that's one of the things I admire about Mary J. She was passionate, and she was focused, and she easily told people where she wanted to go.
The book is Mary J.'s Community. The author is Clyde Edmund Fisher. The book available at Amazon, the usual places. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get the information there. As you were reading about Mary J. and the community, that really could be a role model for today, couldn't it, when you're thinking about back then? And so often we put this in an either-or situation. Well, those times are gone. There's not much we can do. It's just, you know, a memory. It doesn't really have to be, does it? There are examples from her life that would apply in our situations today.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think we live in a world now where our communities are crying out for coming together, being able to socialize together, being able to have leaders that care and mix with that community. One of the unique things about during Mary J. time is that the business leaders lived in the community. So therefore, the profit was spread out to the community. So he might have the, you know, the most money in town, the biggest house, but everybody ate at his house, and the kids traveled there. And nobody really felt poor because everything was kind of spread around. And also in that culture, they the family, they had like vegetable gardens, and they had apple trees and pear trees. And so everybody had something that they wanted to share and help with each other. So, yeah, it's so much we can learn from this story about Mary J., about bringing together a community, bringing together dreams, not only for yourself, dreams that also can help your community, that can inspire your community. And those, guess what? When those kids grow up that lived in that town, they stopped by Mary J.'s store before they went home to their mama when they came home. That's that was the kind of community that you had. That's how, you know, business leaders brought a lot to this community. And to see that all gone, they lost a big connection, because even if they didn't felt loved home, they felt loved when they go to Tennessee, her, you know, because she always inspired them as well.
Well, in the story, so many tools that the people of Mary J.'s community use to support each other. Talk about some of those, because, again, those can be implemented today.
Right. And I go back and I say it over again, is that the tools were, look at the thing, people had businesses, but they used those businesses as tools. They used their guards as tools. They used the minute things that they didn't have a lot of money, but they had a lot of things to share. If they went down and went fishing to one of the local creeks, they came back and they shared those things. They found it up on those things. So they utilized their religious resources, their churches. All these things came together in a unique community, and they utilized a lot of things that seem somewhat invisible to us today, but they were very helpful and grateful and things like that. And they shared things that they had available to do. So I just think the community itself was used as a tool, the businesses, their resources. They didn't always have the greatest, they didn't really need a lot of political things happening all the time, because so many people acted in their community and they took care of their community. Everybody knew each other. So it's Christmas time. If people had lack or didn't have food or something, Mary J., many of the community get their trucks around and they go around and make sure that people had those things, to make sure that people had those resources and things like that. So it was a community that was able to take care of itself, even though it was going through difficult times. And there was not a lot of government resources available to them, but the community came together and they filled the gap that many times they wasn't able to get outside their community. And that's why you have so much love in this community, because they utilized the things that they had, whether their transportation system, whatever they had, they utilized it to connect with each other and make their community better. And you could always get a unique smile with people down the street.
Well, and that's why the word in the title, community, is so important. That sums it up because it was a community. Mary Jane's Community, Clyde Edmund Fisher, our guest on the program. A couple minutes left in the program. I want to go back to Mary J. and talk about her childhood, because there was obviously something there that inspired her to be a store owner and to pursue this, sort of this, as she went into adulthood. That drive was just as strong when she was going into adulthood, teen years, early 20s, that period, as it was when she was an 11, 12-year-old girl. What was it about her childhood that really instilled this in her, where it wasn't just a dream, it was sort of like a goal that she had in mind?
Well, I think one of the things, she had support. First of all, her parents and her aunt saw that she had this wonderful passion for the store business, and they supported it. For example, her mother would say, on this coming Saturday, Mary J., we're going to take you down your Aunt Loretta's store, and you'll be able to work there and play, do whatever you want to do. And so, but when she got to the store, her Aunt Loretta would say, all right, this is my helper for the day. She would let her run things behind the store, help her with customer, restock. They let her play and enjoy, so they supported her. They encouraged her. And she has such, you know, this became such a healthy environment for her to live in. And I think that's the key. If you find a child that has a unique dream, that's just, you need to, if he can find support within the community, within their family, someone that's helped stimulate that dream, they'll bring it back. She brought it back to the community 100 times and 100 folds. I mean, through her giving, through her store ownership, and to help people survive the Great Depression years. I mean, so people like that often give back. So I think it's when you find children like that that have that unique dream, it's sometimes it's better instead of poking fun at them is to encourage them and give them opportunity. And she was supported by her parents and her aunt in letting her do that. I mean, and people always laughed when they saw her running around trying to play store, but you know, they supported her.
Yes.
I mean, even for example, her father built her a little playhouse. So when she got back to her little playhouse, she called all the neighborhood kids there, and she would put her candy out and she would play store with them coming out there. And everybody knows she wants a store. And they get mad when they say, you got to have customers, so you got to treat us right. But everybody knew her dreams and what she wanted to do.
And she fulfilled those dreams. A minute or so left in the program. We'd like to ask you about the impact it had on you. Obviously, the initial story when you heard it, as I say, resonated over the years. And then writing the story, going back and developing the characters and telling the story. I sense from your passion, the smile on your face as you're telling the story, this really has been life-changing for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, because what it happened to me, I'm like everybody else. You start out of a dream. You have things you wanted to do. I always liked business and things of that nature that I wanted to do. And you know, it's funny. I had done some undergraduate work at school. And then late in life, I said, you know, I want to do other things. I want to write. I have other things I wanted to do. So I end up late in life going back to school and doing things when other people have, you know, was kind of giving up and say, hey, it's too late to do anything. Because Mary J. made convinced me in my mind that when you have a dream, you cannot worry about what other people think of that dream. You need to be focused on the dream that you have. If you focus on it, then other people would help you. And look at me now. We're back at my dream, and now I'm on the radio show talking to you. I'm reading the book. I'm doing things. Why? Because that dream didn't die. I'm still following in that dream. And every time I read her story, I'm inspired to keep on inspiring that dream. And I don't think that anybody around me can stop me from reaching that dream, because as Mary J. did, she just passionately went out and did it. She didn't worry about what somebody else think or said. She just went and followed her dream.
Well, I would not be the one to say, Clyde, I don't think you can do that, because I think you can do that. And I certainly would not try to be a roadblock in there. You've done it with this story. You know the power of community because you work in multicultural communities, as I mentioned in the beginning. That's why this one of the reasons this book is so powerful. It's entertaining. It's a charming book. It's a historical coming of age novel based on a true story, as we talked about. The book is Mary J.'s Community. The author is Clyde Edmund Fisher. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on there directly and get all of the information. Clyde, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for sharing the story with us on the program.
And Rick, I really appreciate you taking the time. I really enjoyed your show. You've been so warm and kind. I just love talking to you.
Well, and right back in your direction, I love having you on. So much to talk about, and so many memories come to mind as you're talking about the communities in the small towns with all of the, again, your friends, your neighbors that are the merchants in those stores. And it was a time that hopefully we can recapture some of that here, at least the attitude, the atmosphere of those great times. It's a fascinating read. You'll enjoy it. And it's for everybody. Mary Jane's Community, Clyde Enman Fisher. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.